going to begin with God's Kind of Love, Part 2. I believe we have 10 questions tonight. And, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just a continuation of last week's. So we're going to continue to talk about God's kind of love. And everything begins with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Because he is the greatest expression of love, right? He went to the cross for us, right? And it's funny because I never thought about this. But the lesson here says that the Lord Jesus is never recorded in the Bible saying, I love you.
Uh-huh. I know. I
noticed that. Right? And I never thought about that, you know? So
it's...
True. Yeah. So, you know, oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I never read that. Yeah. So anyway, so, and, you know, it says here, the greatest expression of love never said, I love you. Do you know why? It's because love is more than words. Love is more than words, right? It is an action. And I love it because he puts in, the instructor, he always puts in his experience into this, and then we can relate from his experience, right? So,
yeah.
So he says, suppose I said to my wife, and you can, you know, put down a husband, you know, like, you can relate and make it relatable to you, you know? So suppose I said to my wife, I love you, and then went out and committed adultery against her. Would you believe his words when he says, I love you? Or would she believe his actions of committing adultery? Yeah, you know, she definitely would believe according to what he did, the actions that he made, you know, because it says here that 95% of love is nonverbal. It's not the things you say, it's the things you do, you know. And I know we've all been there, but sometimes people can tell us, I love you, and I say, there's something about that, those three words. It just doesn't sound genuine coming from your mouth right now. You know, it's like when people say, you know, I'm really sorry. Well, that doesn't sound genuine. You know what I mean? Like, there's a certain tone of voice that you're expecting to hear. So, that's, I don't know, right? I think we've all been here, right? So, let's go to the word, but it's funny because, you know, when you say, I love you, you know, man, you better mean it. Don't just say it because you want to say it. Really mean what you're saying, you know? Anyway, so let's go to the scripture. Let's go to 1 John 3:18. And it says here, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Right? So in other words, love is an action word. Right? And then he wants us to go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. So let's go there, and let's go to verses 35 to 36. Matthew 25, 35 to 36 says, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Right? Isn't that so relatable? Like, you can really put yourself in here. I think in one way or another, because as I'm reading this, I say, you know what? I've clothed, you know, the naked. I mean, I have visited people in prison. You know what I mean? Like, like you can put yourself here, because here the Lord Jesus is describing love by actions. And this is why he said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you put clothes on me. Right? And when I was sick, you really did take care of me. And then in verse 40, look at what it says. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Right? Isn't that something? Right? So, you know, for example, I have gone to visit some of the inmates that we help out on a monthly, I think it's every other month that we help them out. Right? We send them money every other month. But that just shows that I care. I care about their well-being. I care about, you know, going there personally and giving them a word. You know, it just shows love, right? And I'm sure the same goes to everybody here. You've donated clothes. You've helped maybe in a food pantry or a clothing pantry or some sort of outreach in your lifetime. And that just showed that you really care about other people, right? Even in our own families, we give people hand-me-downs. Hey, listen, here it is, you know. Appreciate, you know, what I'm handing you down. And, I mean, I've been there. I've wore other people's shoes. I wore other people's clothes. And I was very appreciative. People gave me clothes for my kids when I was a single parent. And I was like, hey, I embrace it. Thank you, you know. Thank you. I appreciate that, you know. And you know what? And as you get older, right, and as because you've been blessed, you want to pay it forward. I don't know about you. I pay it forward because I remember being a single parent with two children. I always remember this. My oldest brother from my father's side, my oldest brother, when I was a single parent with two children, with Carmen and Ralphie, when I left his house one day, when I went to visit, he just put money in my hand. Like, he didn't want anybody to see that he was giving me money, you know? And I was like, I was so blessed because I really needed that money, you know? And I was so blessed. And then I think years later, I saw a movie that was called Pay It Forward. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, it clicked. You know what I mean? And I said, oh, I'm going to pay this for it. God bless me so I can be a blessing, you know? And it is so rewarding. It, like, I don't know, there's so much joy when you give other people things. And, yeah, to the point that the Lord had to teach me. Well, he didn't teach me, but he's teaching me. Last year, he told me at the end of last year, he says, listen, I'm going to teach you how to steward, because everything I'm blessing you with, you're giving it away. I'm going to teach you how to steward. I don't want you to be in debt any longer. You know what I mean? But it's just, there's just something about blessing others. It's such a joy, you know, and I have a lot of love to give because God's given me so much love, you know. So I have a lot of love to give out, and I just want to bless. But anyway, I had to, like, put a little break. I had to put some brakes on, you know. But this is God. God is just so loving, and he's teaching us. And you know what? Those that I can't give to, God is giving through other means, using other people. You know what I mean? So God is just so generous. You know, I mean, he gave his only begotten son, right? So verse 40, you know, is saying by doing what we do to the least, right? You're actually doing it unto the Lord. So, and I know God is well pleased when we bless other people. You know, we're called to be a blessing, right? We're blessed to be a blessing. So let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 10. Wow, these lessons are so good. I really like doing Bible studies. I don't ever want to stop. 6:10. For God is not unjust to forget your work of labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So this is, you know, I mean, it's plain and simple. You know, God sees everything we do. God sees everything we do. And the thing is that, you know, the word of God says, just reminds me, when you're faithful with the little, right, then God can trust you with more. You know, this is what his word is saying. That's what I get from reading this. And then when we are loving other people by doing things for others, in fact, it says here, we're actually ministering to them. Because we're showing the love of God. The love of God is being, you know, is being shown through our actions, you know? So it's amazing. It's amazing. And it says in Matthew 22, when the Lord Jesus was asked, what was the greatest commandment? He said, it's to love God and to love our neighbors, right? And these two commandments are really one, if understood correctly, right? So when you show love to the least of these people, right?
You're showing love with God. Mm-hmm.
Jesus said you're actually showing it to him, right? And the Bible right now is teaching that we have a wonderful opportunity and a great opportunity to love the Lord in practical ways by loving others, by loving strangers, by loving our families, by loving people that we know and do not know, because our neighbors are people we really don't know.
Right.
Are people like in the store that you've never met, or at the gas station, or at a bank, that when you smile at them, love is coming out of your smile. Mm-hmm. You know? So this is what the Lord is saying. What you do unto others, you're really doing unto me. So we're talking about love right now. And in the last lesson, the instructor is saying here that he had told us about the Romanians, right, that he met in the park, and how their lives were changed because he really looked out for the welfare and the benefit of them. It didn't matter how he felt. Even if they were a different nationality, if they had a different color, you know, whether they were yellow, black, white, didn't matter. Hispanic, not Hispanic, it didn't matter, you know. But he knew that God's love was expressed through his actions. Amen? When you seek the welfare and the well-being of others, you're actually expressing the love of God. You are doing something that the Lord Jesus would do. It's like that bracelet that people used to wear. What would Jesus do, right? If that was WWJD, right? I had to think about it, you know? So, you know, sometimes you got to ask yourself, well, what would Jesus do in this instant? You know? And a lot of people, you know, we forget, you know. What would he do? You know, we don't question it, you know, but we should be questioning it. You know, how would the Lord handle this issue? Well, he would go to the Father, you know. That's what he did. He always went to the Father because he didn't do anything that the Father didn't tell him. You know, he always inquired about the Father. Okay, what do you want me to do? Oh, okay, I'm going to heal. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Yeah, I'm going to go to the cross. Not my will, but your will be done, right? He always went to the Father. What the Father told him to do, he did. And then he went on to say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know? And anyway, wow. And he said, oh my goodness, the Lord Jesus, we know when he was praying in Gethsemane, right? He was like sweating. He said, tears of blood, right? He says, I don't know, Lord, this is a heavy cup, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Because he said to the Father, is there any other way, Lord? Is there any other way, Father God? You know that I don't want to go through this. Yeah, but he said, nope. You know what? I'm just going to do my Father's will. And what he did was the Lord Jesus, he sought our welfare, our well-being. It didn't matter how he was feeling. Because that anxiety must have been out out of control, you know? So it didn't matter how he felt. He went to the cross anyway. And he did it for us. He did it for the world. Okay. So then, now the instructor says, one day, you know, he got a call from the Romanian people. Remember them. But this time, they were crying. Because they've been in the United States for 7.5 years. And now, at this point, they lived in Kansas. And they were working. And then they said that they finally got a ruling under, I think it's called asylum?
Asylum.
Political asylum papers, right? And I was looking it up, you know, it's not a word that I hear much, but it's a form of international protection granted to individuals who have fled their home because of persecution, right? So no doubt these Romanians came to the U.S. to live a better life, right? And what they were sharing with Don Crow, the instructor, they said, you know what? They're giving us 30 days to make an appeal, and then we may be deported, you know?
Yeah.
And they were saying that normally 2-5%, there's a 2-5% chance of getting this asylum in this country. So those percentages are pretty low.
Very low.
Very low. And the Romanians had gone to a lawyer, and they basically said, the lawyer said, you know what? I don't see this happening. I don't think you have a chance. Unfortunately, you may get deported. So you know, when they spoke to him, they spoke to Don Crow, you know, he said, you know what? We need to pray. We just need to pray. You know, the only way, you know, when there's no other way, we pray, you know, because honestly, he didn't even know how he can help them out except through prayer. So, you know, and we've seen, you know, these people have been living here, they've been paying taxes and everything else. And, you know, in anybody's eyes, it was a great injustice for the government to send them back, especially after having a whole family. They had children by now, you know, and these children, now they were speaking English, they didn't really even speak Romanian at this point. They were learning the English language. So what did Don Crow do? He said he had a friend, right, and he called his friend, a congressman in Colorado, right, and then that told him, you know, why don't you call the senator in Kansas, because that's where the Romanians now lived, right? So he did that, and he called a friend of his who worked for that senator. He contacted them. That person got people from Washington, D.C. to begin to work on that case, on the Romanian case. And they started petitioning. They got signatures, right? And, you know, they were saying, you know, these people are good. These families are good people. They pay their taxes. They work hard. And they shouldn't really be deported. They should really be here. We want them here. There was even a full coverage newspaper article about what had happened. And you were talking about, they were talking to high officials from the government. And they really understood what was going on, because I'm sure they're not the first family that were going to be, you know, that had been deported already, right? So, but later on, the Romanians got a letter saying that the decision had been reversed.
Correct.
And that they could stay in the U.S. So prayer, when we seek prayer, and when we hear from the Spirit, because he felt, I said, you know what, let me contact this person, and this person contacted this person, and this person contacted the other person. And God moved in those people, but he wouldn't have been able, you know, it's really us moving, right? We know that God moved us to move. You know what I'm saying? Like, we heard from the Lord, and in that we began to move. And from one person led to the other person. I mean, you're talking about three different states. You call Colorado, you call Kansas, and you call Washington, D.C. Those three different states involved. But this is how God, you know, this is how God moves in our behalf. When we follow his voice. No doubt that Don Crow, the instructor, he followed the voice of the Lord. Says, you know, and he felt that urge. You know what? Call this congressman in Colorado. And that's how everything began. And look, they got to stay. And then Don Crow ended up going to Kansas now. And his friends didn't know he was coming. And when he got there, you know, they were already on their phone thanking the senator, right, for helping them stay and not get deported. And, you know, obviously they couldn't be there personally, right? He's even talking about President Clinton's impeachment hearing, you know, like in this lesson. Okay, this is what's happening at the time, right? But anyway, but, you know, the news, you know, ABC and NBC, the cameras were, at Washington, D.C. This was a big deal. So as soon as everything was over and the cameras were there and everything else, they said, you know, they asked him, I guess, who are you? How do you know these people? And then Don Crow said, well, I told them the whole story he shared with them. And he shared also how he had met them at the park and that he went to the park and he was just looking out for the welfare of them and because of God and the love of God, right? This is what Matthew 7:12 says, right? So he was just sharing with the people, the newscasters, about how he met the people and how God was all in it, right? Matthew 7:12, let's see what it says. Because he's referring to the scripture now. And it says here, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Right? That's plain and simple. Yeah, you know, how do you want to be treated? Then treat others the way you want to be treated. Right? And no doubt, you know, Don Crow, he just expressed love to this family, and one thing led to the other, to the other, to the other, but it's no coincidence that that was a divine appointment. Because if they would have never met Don Crow, I doubt it, they would have stayed in the United States. I really doubt it. So to me, that looks like a divine appointment to me. That he was there at the right time, at the right place, and he was led by the Holy Spirit to go to that park at that particular time, in that particular day. And he befriended them. Amen? Anyway, so I guess it was time to celebrate, right? Because it says here that they went to a gym, and in that gym they had red, white, and blue balloons. People were singing the nation's songs, and then his friends came in, and everybody started shouting, they were crying, and everything else. And even the mayor of the city said, today, February 12th, right, is going to be Jukan Family Day in honor of the Romanian people, the Romanian family. And they took an American flag that the senator had flown over the capital of Washington, D.C., in their honor. Can you imagine? In their honor. Like, even the senator did this, you know. And then he presented that same flag to them. And then he also presented them with papers that said, you can legally stay here now, you know, for the rest of your lives. And that's exactly what happened. And so they began to give their testimony, and then they were asked, you know, they asked Don Crow to pray, right? And he said, Don Crow said, you know what? There's one person we haven't given thanks to, and we need to give thanks to God Almighty for everything he's done. Amen? And, wow. So you know, he goes on to say, wow, seven and a half years ago when this happened, right, in a little park in Colorado Springs, he was seeking the Lord, telling him that he wanted to reach out to people and just show them his love. And look, and God led them to the Romanian family. Wow. And all he did was, you know, God just wants to help you. That's it. And look, they got welcomed to the USA. They almost got deported, but they ended up staying in the USA. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a miracle, like he says in his lesson. It's a miracle. You know, I knew, he says, I knew the right people in the right places at the right time. And this is what we were saying before, right? His friend Kim, he's the one that made the arrangements with the senator, right? And then they even went to meet Andrew Womack. Well, that's where Don Crow, he knows Andrew Womack. So they went to meet him at the Andrew Womack ministry, because I believe he used to work there. But I know he's very close to Andrew Womack, because they wrote this discipleship booklet. They wrote it together. This teaching, the discipleship that we're doing, both of them wrote this discipleship program together. So anyway, so Don says, you know, little did I know that God was setting me up to help this family. And isn't that funny how God sets you up sometimes to be at the right place at the right time just to help somebody out? And he so revealed himself to this Romanian family. He revealed his love. And it was very simple. And Don Crow just follow after God. He just said, you know what? I'm just going to show them love. God, you want to show them? I'm going to show them love, you know? And it's something that he's never going to forget, he says. And it's all because of the Lord. So he's saying here, Anca must have been one of the ladies from Romania. And she had said to him, you know, my faith wavered, but God is faithful, and he allowed us to stay in the USA. You know, and because, you know, how many of us know that our faith can get shaken? When things happen, our faith gets shaken. I mean, my faith was shaken yesterday. You know, when I heard from the attorney. So, you know, so I know what they're talking about. You know, I had to discuss some things with the attorney about the church. And for a moment there, my faith was shaken. I was like, no. No, I'm standing on, I'm anchoring the word of God, you know. So, but anyway, talking about love, you know, there are multitudes. There are many, many, many people right now who are crying out for love, you know, because this love's something that unfortunately in some families, they weren't shown love. You know, we've mentioned this before. Some people, you know, I think it was Sunday. I was ministering to somebody. And she's a foster child, but she's now a woman, right? But she's never met her mom. She's met her real dad. But this is they live with, her and her brother lived with their foster parents. But man, till this day, and she's like in her 30s, early 30s, till this day, the mother, the foster mother, still calling them like, you're a loser, and you this, and you that, and just criticizing them, judging them, that her brother was, he was in jail, he just came out, somebody bailed him out, and he's just been in trouble, you know, in jail, in and out of jail all the time, but every time they go speak to this foster mom, you know, all they get is negativity, put downs, no edification, no encouragement. And she came over Sunday and she says, you know, can we just pray for my brother? I'm really hurting and I feel like I'm carrying his weight, but I can't do it anymore. I said, no, you're not meant to carry this weight, you know. So you just need to love on him and just keep edifying him, encouraging him. But all that to say that sometimes, you know, people who foster other children, they don't do it for love. They do it for money, you know. And it's really sad because, I know her personally, and she's got such a great heart, this, you know, young girl, you know, in her 30s. And I'm like, you know, my heart went out, you know. So anyway, she came here, you know, she came here for prayer, you know, to be ministered to. And that's exactly what I did. But it's just sad that there's so many, you know, now they're adults, but there's so many children even today get placed in foster homes but these parents are not really loving on them. And it's really, really sad. And it breaks my heart, you know, to see that. But anyway, so there are a lot of people crying out for love because they were never shown love growing up, you know. And the only way they can get it is when you and I, because we have the love of God and we have love for God, when we make a decision and when we understand those principles of God and how much He loved us, that we can actually give that love back to others, right? And we can actually edify others with word and indeed, just like the word of God says. So love is kind, right? Love seeks the welfare of others, just like the Lord Jesus sought our welfare when He went to the cross, and He willingly went to the cross. Like, He did it. He did it for us. He paid the full debt for us. So, you know, all this to say that you gotta love, 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 love. Love to pay the way the Lord loves. That's our job, just to love others. It don't matter how you feel, just love. Just put out there love. You know, cooking something for somebody else is showing love too. That's an action. You know, you're cooking for somebody, right? That's an action. So, but whatever you do, just show love, 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 love at all times. Edify, encourage, support. Never speak down to people. That's just not what the Lord would do. If you're not sure about something, ask the Lord. Amen. So, and these are great principles to follow, you know. Remember, what we do unto others, we're actually doing them unto God. So, amen. So, we just got to keep loving, because that's really what it means. You know, when we put others before us, that's loving others. And when we do that, that's loving God too. So, and that is God's kind of love. And that's the love that He wants us to express unto others. The same love that He expressed when He was here on earth is the same love that He wants us to express as a church and as individuals. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Great lesson here. Amen. Any thoughts, any comments before we get to the questions? You know, I know I spoke about my examples. You know, as I remember, I just, you know, as the Lord placed it in my heart, I just spoke it. You know? So, but anyway. All right. I think we read Matthew 7:12 already. Right? I think I'm still there, actually. Matthew 7:12. I have it open. Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, right? So, in your own words, tell us what the golden rule is. Golden rule. That's exactly. That's exactly right. And then it says in that question too, in trying to discover love, many people try to find the right person. Oh, this is interesting. Should you try to find the right person or become the right person? Oh, man. That's one.
I think it's both. You want to find the right person and become the right person.
No. No. I am not looking for the right person, Vinit. That person has to come to me. Hey, listen, I'm still young, okay? Benny will tell you, I was dressed to impress on Sunday when I went to visit her.
I was like,
where are
you going?
It was funny. I was funny. Oh, my God. But we got to choose to become the right person, okay? But, you know, don't look for love. Love will find you. We didn't look for God. God found us, okay? Amen. All right, let's go to Scripture. 1 John 5:3. I don't think we read this one today.
Yes.
Did we? Okay. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Yeah, we read that last week. Is love a feeling, or is love something you do?
It is an action.
It's something you do.
Yeah. Yeah, when we walk in God's principles, that we're doing something. We're following His commandments, right? Amen. 1 John 3:18. Let's see. Yeah, we began with that one. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So if you told your wife or husband, I love you, but went out and committed adultery, would she, he believe your words or your actions?
Because
you could say,
you
know, you got to
act upon it.
Yeah.
You
don't act upon it, then say it. It's like they say, don't show me that you love me. That's true. That is so true. That's right. Because, you know, like they said, action do speak louder than words. Time and time again. So. All right, let's go to the book of Romans 5:6-8. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you think the Lord Jesus felt like dying?
No.
That's why he asked the Father, is there any other way?
What did he say? It was a Gethsemane, but he was praying.
If it be your will, please take
me. Yeah. In other words, is there any other way?
Exactly. Ooh. Wow.
But he was obedient.
He was.
Yeah, he was.
He was seeking the benefit.
For us and His Father.
That's right. And He put us before Him, you know, like He was seeking the benefit of us, the welfare of others. That's what He did. He did it for all of us. It didn't matter how He felt, because we know how He felt. We read it in the Word. But He did it for us. All right, let's read Galatians 5:22. I really like that scripture. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Right? So can we really love without God at the center of our lives?
No.
God
is love.
No. No way.
But non-believers would say yes. Especially if we say to them, well, love is in action, and they'll go, yeah, I love God, but not actions or whatever. But
yeah.
I don't believe in God.
All
right, what does the Word say, right? The Word says, you know, how can you say you love me and hate your own brother? How can you say you love me who you can't see, right? And yet love, hate your brother who you can see.
Right.
That's not love. Then the love of God is not in you. That's what it says.
Right.
And that's true. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why we believers, not Christians, we believers, we love all.
Right.
We love all.
Right.
We don't judge. We don't criticize. We love all. Because at the end of the day, everybody does have a story. And we don't know everybody's story.
Everybody has a story.
Everybody's gone through something. And some people, multiple things. So, can't judge. All right. 1 John 4:8. Let's go there.
There you go.
1 John 4:8 says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So, question. The reason that we need God to help us truly love others is because He is the only one who is
love.
That's right. Love covers a multitude of sins. All right, let's go to the chapter of love, right? 1 Corinthians 13:5. All right, I'm just going to read one. All right, 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil." They wanted me to read from the New Living Translation, but I don't have it here. So here on the notes, it says, "Love is not rude, does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it has been wronged." So the question is, choose from the following words, right? A description of what love is not: rude, selfish, unforgiving.
Yeah.
And we can probably come up with others. Love is not
negative wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Love does not keep tabs.
Yeah.
So that's what it says, self or self-seeking, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. Love is not fear. Yeah. We can probably think of others. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13:8. "Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away." What is the only thing you will take from this life into the next life or beyond the grave? Exactly. And why is that?
Because you wouldn't have gotten where you, beyond the grave if you didn't love. And the only reason you love is because you believe and faith and have trust in God. That's why there's love in you. So if you go to the grave without love, you won't be rising. Well, you rise, but not to go.
Yeah, and you know, and
the
other,
the love of God is in us also. So
right, yeah. and the other reason is because love will last forever.
Forever, it does last forever.
Mhm. Yep. Proverbs. Yep. There's two scriptures here: Proverbs 10:12, and 1 Corinthians 13:5, which we read already. So let's go to Proverbs 10:12. The book of Proverbs.
Yeah.
All right, 10:12. "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins."
There's a multitude of sins.
So love keeps no record of when it has been wronged. Love will cover how much sin.
Keep tabs. It covers all sins.
Oh.
Past, present, and future.
That's right. That's why we say love covers a multitude of sins.
Multitude.
Covers them all.
Yep.
That's why love does. And God is love, right? God is love. So you can replace it. God will cover a multitude of sins. All of sin is already covered. It's under the blood. Under the blood.
Under the blood.
Amen. So, yep.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Any comments, questions before I stop the recording?
That was good. Lesson 1 and 2.
Yes.
Amen.
All right, Christine.